Our scripture reading for this morning is going to come from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible. It is found in the Old Testament. It is page 676 of your pew Bibles. And we're going to be reading from chapter 29 of Jeremiah. We'll begin with verse 1, and then we will move down to verse 4 and read through verse 7. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. These are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord Jesus, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right after high school, I joined the Army. Actually, when I was still in high school, I joined the Army. And immediately upon graduating, I did my basic training for a couple of months, and then I received my orders, which was to go to Germany for 3 years. No one in my basic training class wanted to go to Germany. Most of us wanted to stay in the United States, where we would have an opportunity to be with our friends and to be able to travel home regularly. So no one really wanted to go to Germany. And in fact, a rumor had circulated that no one was being sent to Germany until the winter. And so I was looking forward to be able to be stationed in the United States. But then I got my orders, and I would be spending the next 3 years in Germany, Bad Kreuznach, Germany, which is about 80 kilometers away from Frankfurt. Germany is a beautiful country, and the German people are wonderful people, but for me it was a bit of a culture shock. I couldn't speak the language, couldn't read the language, couldn't understand the language. Everything was different. The houses were different. The cars were different. The people were different. All I could think about during the first year or so was getting back to the United States. And so for that whole first year of my time in Germany, I stayed pretty close to the military base, trying to figure out how I might be able to get back to the United States, something in some place that I was a little bit more familiar with. Sooner or later, I had to face the fact and resign myself to the fact that I was going to be in Germany for 3 years, and so I might as well make the best of what I considered to be a bad situation. And so I began to get out on the German economy a little bit and go downtown to the guest houses and just learn a little bit about the country of Germany and its people. And even now, looking back on that time, I wish that I'd have done more. I was there for 3 years. I wish I'd have taken the opportunity to learn a little bit of German and taken the opportunity to see a little bit more about that country. Culture shock, of course, is only part of what the people of Judah are experiencing in our text this morning. Their situation is far more tragic and traumatic. They are going through what is called the exile. In the Old Testament, there are two major poles that everything kind of circulates around. One is the Exodus, which is found in the beginning of the Bible. It's when God liberates Israel from the grips of Egyptian oppression and takes them to their own land and dwells in their midst. But the other is exile. It is when God uproots the people and takes the land from them and carries them away into captivity. After being warned repeatedly by the prophet Jeremiah that God was about to bring judgment upon them, in our text this morning, the judgment that Jeremiah foretold finally came by way of the Babylonians. The Babylonians poured into Judah around the 5th century B.C., and they laid siege to Jerusalem, to the city of David, completely destroying it. The temple, the very presence and locus of God, was totally destroyed. And if that were not bad enough, all the leading citizens of Judah, from the king on down, were rounded up and taken captive deep inside the bowels of Babylon. Imagine someone coming today and carrying away the president and Congress and taking them deep into captivity, never to be heard of from again. Well, that might be a good thing. But it was devastating for Judah. And it's called, again, the exile. It was one of the most tragic chapters in the life of God's people. It was not the first time that it happened. 200 years before that, the mighty Assyrians had came down and wiped out totally Judah's sister nation, Israel, the northern 10 tribes of Israel. But the people of Judah believed that they were different. They believed that they were an exceptional nation. They believed that because they were God's chosen people, that God would not possibly allow that kind of devastation to be visited upon them. They believed that God would not possibly separate them from the land, which was the locus of God's presence. But that is exactly what happened, just as the prophet Jeremiah had foretold. And the text makes it clear that this was not just some accident in history, but this was something that God had done. This was something that God allowed to happen because of the people's sinfulness and waywardness. You know, often we pastors have to battle against a theological understanding that holds that every bad thing that happens is somehow the result of God's judgment. We often labor to have people to understand that bad things often happen not because we are bad, but because we live in a fallen and imperfect world. But at the same time, it's important to understand that our alienation from God is often the result of our own waywardness, that our failure to live as the people that God has called us to be individually and collectively often means that we bring disaster upon ourselves. Again, not because God is up there waiting to get us whenever we do something bad, but because we have chosen a particular path, a path that often leads us further and further away from God and further towards destruction. And that's what happened to Judah in our text this morning. They kept going down the wrong path. They kept moving further and further away from God. They kept worshiping foreign idols around them. They failed to take care of the most vulnerable citizens in their midst. And then disaster was visited upon them. And now they are marched into Babylon, a foreign land, a foreign people, a foreign language, and even worse, foreign gods, gods that they don't know and can't understand. We can imagine the taunts of the Babylonians. Where is your God now? Where is this God that you worshiped? Why don't you sing us one of those songs that you sung to your God? Where is your God now here in Babylon? The only gods that matter here in Babylon are our gods. See, they're all around you. Our gods have defeated your God. Where is your God now? Indeed, we are reminded of Psalm 137 where the people say, by the rivers of Babylon where we sat down, how can we sing the Lord's song? How can we remember God and sing the Lord's song and praises in the foreign land? There were, of course, spiritual leaders in their midst, prophets who sought to console them by telling them pretty much what they wanted to hear. Yes, the prophet said, this experience is devastating, this exile is terribly devastating, but rest assured it won't last long. 2 years at the most, and then God will deliver us just as God delivered our ancestors from the land of Egypt. All you have to do is just think positive. Don't unpack your bags. Continue to remember Zion back home, but God is going to deliver us. It's going to happen soon. Just keep positive. Just keep the faith. But it's in the midst of this situation that the prophet Jeremiah writes his letter to the exiles living in Babylon. And Jeremiah was not the most popular prophet. In fact, Jeremiah was hated and despised because he told people not what they wanted to hear, but because he told them the truth. And the truth that he had to tell them didn't sound terribly encouraging. Contrary to what the false prophets had been telling the people, Jeremiah tells them that they're going to be captive in Babylon for a long, long time. They're going to be there, he tells them, eventually, not just 1 year or 2 years or even 7 years, but they're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. They're going to be captive for a long, long time. Most of them, perhaps all of them, will never see Jerusalem again. They will never see the land of their birth. They will never see the land of God. They will never see the promised land again. That's not terribly encouraging. I'm sure that's not the kind of message that they wanted to hear. But the prophet Jeremiah goes even further. He tells them that in the midst of their current despair, in the midst of their disorientation and isolation, he tells them to lay down their roots right there in Babylon. He tells them to settle down and be at home right there in this strange and terrifying place. Build houses, he tells them. Build houses and families and gardens. Do all the kind of things that you would do back home in Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of David. Only do it right here in Babylon. Because believe it or not, God is even here. God is even here in this place. It may seem like God is not there. It may seem like God has given up on you. It may seem like you don't have a future, but believe it or not, God is with you there in Babylon. So make yourself at home right there in the midst of this strange and foreign people with their strange and foreign gods. But not only does Jeremiah tell them to make themselves at home in Babylon, but he says something even more remarkable. He tells them to seek the welfare of the city. Seek the welfare of Babylon, and not only to seek the welfare, but to pray for Babylon. To pray for the Babylonians. Can you imagine that? The hated Babylonians, these are the people who spent 10 years laying siege to Jerusalem. These are the people who killed Jewish women and children. These are the people who openly mocked God and destroyed the temple. These are the people who carried the Jews away into captivity and separated them from everything they loved and cared for. And now Jeremiah comes along and he says, not only to make yourself at home among this people, but to seek their well-being and to pray for them. No wonder Jeremiah was hated and despised. The exile was a terrible disaster. It's not something that you would wish on anyone, but it was a time of discernment, a time of creativity, a time of growth, a time for the development of spiritual depth. Scholars tell us that much of the Old Testament was written during the period of the exile. Maybe it was during the exile that Judah came to realize that God was not just a tribal God associated with a particular piece of real estate, but that God was a God of the whole world, that God was a universal God. Maybe it was during the exile that they came to learn that God was a God that loved not only them, but that God loved everyone. God loved the whole world. God loved even the hated Babylonians. Maybe it was during exile that they came to learn that there was absolutely nothing that can separate him from God. That their God was with them even in the midst of exile. Maybe it was during the exile that they were forced to learn what it meant to trust in God and God alone. They would never have learned those lessons had they not made their home there in Babylon. Jeremiah's letter was written, of course, to exiles who lived a long, long time ago. But it's also a letter for us. It's also a letter for all of us. It's a letter for all of us because I suspect that every now and then we too experience our own personal exiles. Every now and then we are deported to a place of pain and hurt and suffering, a place where we would rather not be. Maybe it is the breakup of our families. Or maybe it's the loss of someone we love and care about. Or perhaps it's the loss of our health or the loss of our livelihood. Maybe it's the loss of our prestige and standing. But every now and then, we too experience exile. We too experience that place of pain and suffering. And the thing to remember is that even in exile, that God is present with us. Even in exile, God is active and God is working through us to do God's purposes and to accomplish God's will. Sometimes God is at work in even the most difficult of circumstances. Sometimes God is at work in the greatest of tragedies. We know that, of course, because we know that God was at work on the cross. We know that God was at work in the killing of Jesus, the torturing of Jesus, and the crucifying of Jesus on the cross. Biblical faith is not faith that says that we won't go through any pain and suffering. We all go through pain and suffering. We all have our time in exile. But biblical faith reminds us that even in the midst of those periods of exile, that God is with us. And not only is God with us, but God is often active in those terrible, difficult circumstances, helping us to be a blessing to those around us, even in the midst of our own exile. But this letter is also for us collectively. It is for us as the church, as God's people in the world today. You know, the church, and when I say church here, I don't mean just our little congregation, but I mean the church in our society, the church universal. The church is going through a kind of exile in our world today. The old world that many of us over 50 still remember, where almost everyone went to church and people used to at least listen to what the church had to say, that world no longer exists. The church has been kicked off the public square, and we find ourselves in a strange place among strange gods. And for many of us, that's quite painful. I suspect that part of our being kicked out of the public square and part of the marginalization of the church in our society today is the result of our own sins. Even when the church was much more prominent in our society, we often worshiped the idols of the world around us, just as the ancient Judeans did so many years ago. We worship things like race and money and nationality and power. And now no one really listens much to what we have to say. Some of us hope that we might be able to get it back, to go back to that simpler time that we are more familiar with, that simpler time when everyone went to church, when everyone was expected to go to church, when the church was much more prominent and strong in our society. And others, perhaps, are just waiting to be transported out of this Babylon, waiting maybe to be raptured up somewhere so that we don't have to be in the midst of this foreign and strange place. But it's in the midst of this kind of situation that the prophet Jeremiah speaks to us today. And his word to us is the same word that he gave to the Judeans. He tells us to settle down, to put down roots, to make ourselves at home in this world. He tells us to build families and churches and communities in this world. Don't try to go back to a simpler time. Don't try to escape or hope to escape to another world, but put down roots in this world. Not only that, but we are called to seek the welfare of this world, to work for the peace and justice and well-being of this world, and to pray for it, to pray for this world. We are called to be at home, even in this world where so much pain and suffering is all around us. We are called to be at home, even in this world that worships the idols and the false gods, the false hopes of this world. We are called to be at home in this place, to be a blessing to this place, to be a blessing to this community, to be a blessing to this world, to be a blessing to this people. We are called to put down roots in this world. For this is the world that God loves. This is the world where God in Christ pitched his tent and dwelt among us, even to the point of going to the cross. And this is the place where God's Spirit is still active and blowing in our midst. And any place where God is a place where we know that we can always be at home. Friends, let us remember that we are called not to escape the world, not to try to deny what is going on around us, not to close our ears from the pain and suffering around us, not to separate ourselves, but to be involved in this world, to lay down roots, to make ourselves at home here, so that through us, this world might be a place of blessing and peace for all. Let us make ourselves at home in this world. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be your people, and that is not easy. We often forget about you and put our faith and trust in what the world has to offer. We put our faith and trust in money. We put our faith and trust in power and military might. We believe that these are the things that can save us. They are the choices that we often make, just as your people thousands of years ago made choices that led to their own destruction and alienation and isolation and despair. Lord, we live in a world today where we too experience exile. We live in a world today where people in this world no longer acknowledge you or care about you. But we ask, Lord, that you help us. Help us not to escape this world, but help us to be at home here, to be a blessing to those that you have called us to be a blessing to. Help us, Lord, to be the place of your Spirit dwelling in our midst, so that no matter where we are, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, that we can continue to seek the welfare of the places that you have placed us in, that we can continue to be a blessing to those who are around us. We will continue to be the witnesses that you have called us to be. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.